Did you hear these words from the book of Titus? You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be the subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. God's word for God's people. May we pray silently. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, reflect your presence and your guidance, O God. Amen. When I was a young child, watching television, now it was a little different than watching television now, Jacob, because I got one station, WHIS-TV in Bluefield, and it was black and white. But there were some shows I watched besides the Westerns. Make Room for Daddy with Danny Thomas, and Father Knows Best with Robert Young. Now, some of y'all might remember those shows. And growing up in a fatherless household, I kind of had that image that that's what family life was supposed to be. And then as I got older, Happy Days with Howard Cunningham. And when I was married and started raising a child, I didn't understand how my wife didn't look all dressed in a full dress with beads and her hair perfect after she'd been cleaning the house all day when I got home from work. It was a little different. And things didn't always quite work out as perfect as they seemed to in those households. And then in my adult years, a television show that I really, really love is Bill Cosby. I just thought that taught so much about family values and some parenting skills and mixed humor with that. And it was a great show. Do you know that he took that idea to one network and they told him it would never work? It wouldn't last a season. And they pushed him out the door. And wow, somebody else picked it up. Fatherhood. That's a tough job. It is, in fact, I believe one of the three most difficult jobs in the world. The first one being a child. It's difficult growing up and surviving as a child. And then being a spouse. And then being a parent. In fact, it's so difficult that some people just quit. They don't do that job. Any one of the three of them sometimes. So we have to look at just what is this fatherly role. So I read to you from the book of Titus today, which is about men and women, parents, grandparents, husbands, wives, setting an example. And that's what you and I do. The people around us, the children especially around us, they look at us. They copy what we do. They mimic what we do. When I was a student and doing an internship at Pittsburgh United Methodist Church, I did the children's sermons. And there was two little boys that were twins. And Grandma was the classic Southern lady. Now, I mean that with utmost respect. She was a sweet person, but if you went to her house, there was not a speck of dust on the table. There was not a pillow out of place. The Bible was always centered in the coffee table. And if I went to her house, she would hand me the Bible and say, "Read to me." And she was always dressed just perfect. You know what I'm talking about. And her daughter, well, she wasn't quite as perfect. Good person, but she didn't worry too much about the dust. You know how that works. Well, the son-in-law, he didn't come to church. Well, you know, I like to ask children questions during children's time. And grandmother came to me and she said, "Don't ask those boys questions." Well, I can't do that. So one week we were talking about Peter walking on the water. And I said to the kids, I said, "Well, what happened to Peter out there?" Up went his hand. And I called on him. He said, "Sharks." So what? He said, "There's sharks swimming around that rod." Peter saw him and he wanted out. No. I tried to explain it. Went on. I was almost ending. And he raised his hand. He wanted to say something. I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I think you're wrong. There's sharks in that water." Well, a couple weeks later, I was going to talk about going to God when you're frustrated. Let's talk to God when things aren't bad and things are going terrible. You're just aggravated. You don't know what to do. What do you do? Up went his hand. Grandma was going back there. So I called on him. He said, "I do what my daddy does." And Grandma starts going like this. I said, "Well, son, what's your daddy do?" "Well, my daddy just goes to the refrigerator and gets a beer and opens and says the with it all." Only he filled in the blank. And I said, "Well, what if that don't work?" "He just goes and gets another beer and keeps getting them until it gets better." Grandma slid under the pew. She told me after church, "I told you not to ask him questions." You know, the bag is easier than some of that. But what did he learn from his dad? The scripture tells us that we're supposed to be people of integrity. That as parents, we are to teach them what is right, what is honest, by what we say and by what we do, and they need to be able to mimic it. As parents, our grandparents, our children should be able to say or do anything that we do. Whew. That's tough. That is tough. There was a couple once took their family out to dinner, and as they were leaving, the dad got in the car after they'd all gone in the car and he'd paid, looked at his wife, he said, "We got over on." She said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, they left one of the kids' entrees off the bill, so we got over on them tonight. Got a break." And as he was driving home, he had the radar detector and it started beeping, so he hit the brake and he said, "Well, I got him this time. They're not going to get me." And when they got to the house, he told his wife, he said, "Now, in the morning, Bill and I are going fishing. I need you to call work and tell them I'm sick and I won't be able to come in." Well, the son gave him a note that had come home from the teacher at school that said, "I caught Johnny cheating on a test today. I want you to discuss it with him." And his dad took him to his room and pointed his finger and he said, "Where in the world did you learn how to cheat?" My son will not do that. Wonder where he learned it. Wonder where he learned it. Once in a setting, I stood in between a young boy about 12 years old who was yelling and screaming and cussing his mother and had drew back to hit her. And as I looked at him and said, "Who do you think you are trying to hit your mother and cuss her like that? Where did you learn that?" He said, "That's what my dad does." Wow. And we wonder about our children. We wonder about
what they've done and how the role models that we have. See, we now teach them about honesty and integrity. Well, we teach them that when there's a mistake, you learn how to say, I'm sorry. You learn how to say, I'm wrong. We teach them how to touch with love. You know, you see all these T-shirts and bumper stickers and stuff. It says, real men, and they do whatever. Well, I saw one not long ago I liked the best. Real men read the book and follow it. That's what real men do. Real men are gentle enough and to be strong and to kneel down and to love. Real men are strong enough to know when to say no. I've been with parents who stood beside a hospital beds after car wrecks, and I've been with parents that have wrapped their arms around a child, teenagers and children, when they've really gotten themselves into trouble and said, I'm going to help you. But I've been with parents who have had to sit in the courtroom to say, I can't help you at this point, but I still love you and I still pray with you. I've been with parents who have had to say, I cannot go bail my child out of jail because they've been there too many times. I've been there. I've seen the pain. I've seen the love. And I know that's what God says to us. Love. Love. Give. Be the example. I get a little upset with these men who like to say, well, I'm supposed to be the man of the household, and that means I'm in charge. I don't know who he's kidding. But my response is usually, you want to be the man of the household? You want to get in charge? Take this book and follow it and act like it. Oh, you mean there's rules to what I can do as being in charge? See, we've got to be who we are. We've got to let God be in us. And if you don't have children, if our children are grown, if our children are live in another place, if our grandchildren are someplace else, there's a child somewhere that needs that love. I grew up fatherless, but there was always a man close by, up the street, my friend's parents, Jane's father after I got married, who taught me what it means to be a loving Christian father. That's who they are. And that's our job. It's our responsibility. Now, I think I've used this before, but I'm going to use it again. Look at the greatest compliment my daughter's ever given me. And by the way, you know that, you know, when you're a parent, you don't ever get done with that job. You never get done with that job. You know, these people that have babies born, they say, well, the hard part's over. No, not till you die. Right? When Karen was young, there was a hairstylist in our congregation. Her name was Sheila. And, you know, I was a pretty strict father. That probably surprises you. I was pretty strict. I was pretty blunt. I was pretty straightforward. Well, but sometimes I said yes, you know, and sometimes I gave her choices. There was a time that she did something she shouldn't have done, and I was absolutely furious. And when she got home and we were in her room, I ripped the telephone out of the wall because she wasn't going to use it for a while. And I had it in my hand, and she said something. I said, you know, I got to get out of this room before I throw this phone through that wall. And I looked at her and said, would you like your discipline today, or would you rather wait till tomorrow? She's smart like her mother. She said, we'll wait till tomorrow. But it wasn't long after that Sheila wanted to give her a haircut. Now, you know, I'm one of these sentimental dads. I just thought all little girls ought to have long, long blonde hair. So I agreed. She would cut her hair. She was, I don't know, 13 years old, 14 years old. She was in middle school. And when she came in, I looked at it. And it was the style. It was that fringy style. I thought she had gotten electrocuted in her hair. It just, that's what I thought. And Karen looked at me and said, "What do you think?" "It's awful. I don't like it." But, and guess what she did? She cried. And Sheila and these other people in the church said, "Oh, you probably scarred her. You shouldn't have done that." I said, "She asked. She asked." Well, she didn't get scarred from that. She's fine. But not too long ago, she told that story to Angie, who cuts her hair today. And Angie cuts her hair. She cuts Jane's hair. She cuts my hair. The only problem is I can't figure out. They go get their hair cut and come out, and theirs isn't gray. I get my hair cut, and it's still gray. I don't understand that. But she told Angie that story, and Angie said, "You know, your dad's a nice guy. I can't believe he did that." She said, "Oh, he did it because he just told me. I asked. He told me." In a conversation, this is what she said. "This means more to me than anybody telling me that I scarred her, or I was mean, or whatever. The one thing I know, my dad has never lied to me." Young people need to see that. Young people need to know honesty. Young people need to know integrity. They need to see men and women who will live up to their marriage vows, who will live up to the moral values that the church teaches, who will walk the walk, and they need to be able to look at it, because when you look around society, there aren't any heroes out there that they can look to if they can't find them in here. And so you and I, children, grandchildren, next door neighbors, kids down the street, kids in the other pew, they're looking for an example. They look first at mom and dad. They look second at grandparents. And then they look in the church. Live the teaching of the Scripture. Happy Father's Day. Amen.